Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a very, very special edition of the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. One of those that we've brought you an interview and hopefully an exclusive interview that you will have been wanting to hear. It's certainly been an interview that since I started in this role, people have been asking for, and one that we've been working hard on for a little while to make happen. It has happened finally. So this is a brilliant chat with former Norwich City manager Martin O'Neill, who obviously had two spells as a player in the 80s before becoming manager in 1995. Everyone has heard the tale, haven't they? I'll just say the names: Martin O'Neill, Robert Chase, Dean Windass. We've all heard that. It's a Norwich City tale as old as time. It's become a little bit of legend, hasn't it? If you want to use it like that. I speak to Martin in this 40-minute chat about all of those things, about how he left the club under a little bit of a cloud during that era under Robert Chase, his time as a player, some of his regrets about how he left Norwich probably in all of his spells. There's some brilliant reminiscing in there about his memories at the football club, some famous goals he scored, perhaps most notably a free kick against Ipswich Town in an East Anglian derby at Portman Road, which was something that was fondly remembered by certain family members when I told them I was speaking to Martin O'Neill. And of course, all of this is because Martin has a new book out, which is called On Days Like These, where he goes into detail about not just his spell at Norwich City, but also his illustrious managerial and football career that saw him play under Brian Clough at Nottingham Forest. He then, of course, after a 10-year spell there, moved to Norwich City to work under Ken Brown before going to Manchester City to work with John Bond, heading back to Norwich City to help with the crucial promotion and playing for Notts County and a few other clubs as well before moving into management, most notably Wycombe Wanderers, then on to Norwich City, of course. He then went on to Leicester, managed Celtic, Aston Villa, Sunderland, Nottingham Forest, of course. Some wonderful managerial spells in there, did really good jobs at the vast majority of clubs that he coached, and he's fondly remembered in the world of football. His book, of course, now available to buy at all good retailers, a really good present for Christmas. And having had a copy and having read a copy, I can definitely recommend it. Certainly if you're fans of that Norwich City vintage, some wonderful stories in there that we kind of touch upon in this chat. So do get yourself down to a shop and check that one out. But without further ado, here is my chat with former Norwich City player and manager Martin O'Neill. Enjoy.
Then I shall refresh your granddad about these things, okay?
Good stuff. So yeah, I mean, three spells at Norwich City. Let's kind of start with a general sort of overlook of it. How do you reflect on your time kind of now? Once it's we're kind of sat here now and it's done and kind of over with. Three spells, two as a player, one as a manager. How do you look back on that?
Okay. Well, the first spell as a player, I came down, I had 10 years at Nottingham Forest. So any move to another club was going to be really strange indeed. And then I go to Norwich, who haven't won too many games in the last number of months. And so why do I want to change all that? And I often wondered that myself as well too. Why would I want to do this? But Norwich were really persistent and wanted me to come to the football club. That, you know, believe it or not, that's still a major pull for players or for people. Mm-hmm. You know, the thought that you were really wanted at this club, and my time had probably run at Nottingham Forest. You know, the team was changing, lots of players were leaving at that particular time. No longer was that sort of success guaranteed in any aspect. So to go to to go to Norwich then, even though it was going to be a struggle, if I tell you that in terms of lifelong friendships with people that I've had with the likes of Joe Royle, that I've had with Mickey Maguire, that might tell you the camaraderie that was around the football club. And you wouldn't have thought you wouldn't have thought that they were in the position that they were when I joined. You know, there was still a bit of spirit. Players had obviously lost a bit of confidence, and I thought that I could inspire is too strong a word, but certainly maybe help them regain that confidence. Anyway, the long and the short of it is that I suppose because there was only 11 games left that season, and I didn't, and they were in such a precarious position, I suppose rather selfishly, I asked for a get-out clause in that sense, you know, having spent the last couple of years with Nottingham Forest and at the upper echelons of the league, then I suppose maybe didn't think it was going to be my fault that if the team went down, although you never know. But but if we had stayed up that season and we made a fist of it by winning four consecutive games and then lost the last game, although it didn't, that wouldn't have counted really, even though Leicester beat us, because Sunderland went up and Sunderland won a game at Liverpool, which you weren't really expected to do. But I had a sort of a get out clause. But if Norwich had stayed up, I'd definitely have stayed. I had really a good rapport with it, not just the fans, but with the players. Genuinely loved it, and it was a whirlwind a couple of months for me, you know, from that time to the end of the season. So it was with a lot of regret that I left the club to go to Manchester City, and then John Bond and I perhaps maybe didn't get on all that famously. I perhaps didn't play well enough at Manchester City either, you know, some of those things that can happen. But even so, the opportunity to come back second time for Norwich and try and get them promotion, and I did that, and really I suppose there was a possible selfish reason as well too, that the World Cup was coming up for Northern Ireland. We were in Spain at the time, or we were going to be playing in Spain, so that would have been a big pull. But I have to say, perhaps maybe my couple of spells at Norwich as a player were unbelievably enjoyable, really enjoyable, and perhaps actually as an individual may well have been my. You know, individually playing, really couldn't have enjoyed it any more than I did do. Helped get the team up. We got promotion on the last day at Sheffield Wednesday, and so the two spells there, I look back genuinely on really with really fond memories of it, and I actually played really well in the two spells as well too. So that's as much boasting as you'll get from me, but I did really well. And so we got promotion, and it was just a brilliant end of the season.
Yeah, I was going to ask around kind of the shift in managers that you worked for, because you obviously went from Brian Clough to Ken Brown. They're very very different, styles and people and managers. How did you find that? Because I would imagine after such a long time at Nottingham Forest and with Brian Clough, it was not just a big change changing clubs, but also kind of working under a different manager, particularly someone who perhaps had a completely different approach to management.
Okay, absolutely. You know, when under Brian Clough, we obviously had a number of years of unparalleled success. It was really, really terrific, and you were very much part of that team. Yeah. Here, I felt in many aspects that I got a feeling under Ken that, you know, that I could go and express myself. First of all, I kind of played centre midfield, which is a place I was probably yearning for to play there. And I felt that I could play, sometimes I could just play off the centre forward in a more advanced role. So all of those things seemed to suit me individually. And in that aspect, it was really fine. Of course, you're talking about two different personalities. Ken had a very happy-go-lucky, view of life, which is good, and it was, and he nearly always had a smile on his face, so it was good. I worked with Mel Machen, who was a splendid coach, really splendid coach. Mel totally different personality to Ken, but the two of them worked well together, and I genuinely prospered under the two of them as well too. So that must say something for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it must have been certainly from a Norwich perspective. I know kind of family members that I've spoken to who are Norwich fans about you and talk about the fact that this was a European winner coming to Norwich City. I mean, you went from winning the European Cup, didn't you, to playing in a side that got relegated pretty quickly. I mean, was there ever a point where you kind of wondered, what am I doing joining the club that was in a relegation battle?
No, I didn't. I perhaps gave that some thought beforehand. Mm. You know, the fact is, I remember watching before going there in the very first place, Norwich City played on a Friday night against Birmingham City. Mm. And I said to Ken a couple of nights before that there, I said, I'll come down and watch that game. And Ken said, oh, no, I don't think it'll bother. So and they were well and truly beaten that evening against Birmingham City. And I remember my brother phoning me and saying, that's a relegation result if ever there's a relegation result. And it's true. And yet, despite all of that, you know, I got Sir Arthur South called me, and I suppose I would have stayed at Forest. And my very last game ever was against Arsenal for Forest, and I scored twice in the game. And had Brian Clough and Peter Taylor said, "Listen, we want you to stay on," I probably would have done. Mm. But the minute they said, "No, we've accepted the offer from Norwich, and you can go and speak to them now if that's the case, or you can go and sign for them." Then I thought, well, okay, that's what they want to do, and I'm going to do it. But after that, I didn't really give the precarious position of Norwich any more than I thought. I thought we can win enough games here, and had we have started the season the way in which we finished, we wouldn't have been that far off a European place. But that's beside the point. The side was only 11 games from me, and the opportunity to go to Manchester City back in the big league again was probably too big a pull. I felt as if that Norwich City then get an extra £25,000 for me, so I thought that covered all sorts of expenses anyway in many aspects, and I tried to justify it in my mind, if nothing else. But but coming back to Norwich for my second spell there was truly terrific. And when I look back at my career in terms of playing, I couldn't be more pleased that I did that at the time, because I think Norwich were languishing about 16th or 17th in the league or whatever it was. But I felt, and it was the first season that 3 points were in for a win, so I felt that we could get the requisite number of wins from our last 20-odd games to get promotion, and which, as it turns out, we did.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because from both your spells as a player, but probably also as a manager as well, but which we'll come on to, but particularly as a player, it feels like there's maybe an element of, I don't know, sadness is the right word, or regret, that perhaps you had to leave both times, because it did feel like it really kind of gripped you, that football club and the spells you had there.
Absolutely, no doubt at all about it, and it is. And when I go down to Norwich, which I visited a couple of times, to watch Wes Houlihan play, you know, when I was looking for the Republic of Ireland players, and when I went down there, I always treat it with a lot of respect, which I like, and obviously Delia gives me a place at her table at times. But it just, I mean, in general, it is really nice. I mean, I've gone there for I've been away from the football club even as a manager for 25 years, maybe longer now. So from that viewpoint, it's it is really nice to come back. And Carrow Road has some decent changes, certainly since I was a player. But overall, just treat it with a lot of graciousness.
Yeah, and I've been asked to mention a goal against Ipswich, which I believe was a free kick, wasn't it? How much do you remember of that one? Because as you know, in these parts, that's a very big deal to beat Ipswich Town and to score the winning goal as well.
Absolutely. Well, it was the big game. It was at Portman Road, and it was in the last minute of the game as well too. And I had the free kick. I bend it with the outside of my foot, And I think it was Paul Cooper was in goal, and I stick it into the very corner of the net. And that was just fantastic. That was like scoring the winning goal in an Old Firm game, as far as I was concerned. It was terrific. And the celebrations for us on the field of play and for obviously the travelling Norwich contingent was just remarkable, really. It was really terrific. And even, funnily enough, I was at a function about 6 months ago, maybe slightly longer than that, there up at St George's Park. There was a function for the League Managers Association, and I was at a table with a Norwich City fan, and the first thing he said, "What about that goal at Ipswich?" And I thought, gee, and he didn't look old enough to remember it, so perhaps maybe it was his father was telling him about it, you know. But it was a great moment. Great moment. So if nothing else, at least I scored the winning goal in the derby game.
Yeah, and that gets you remembered in these parts, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Cannot be forgotten for that.
Absolutely. I mean, the fans more generally as a player, what did you kind of make of them? Because I think a lot of them have really fond memories of you, well, both as a player and obviously in the short spell as a manager, but particularly for the impact that you had in that second season when you arrived and helped them get promotion.
I think that was really terrific. I felt as if I actually owed the club that, in the sense of having left after the previous season. So to get back there, the way it worked out for me was really terrific, Connor. Really, really terrific, in the sense that coming back at the time I did, playing, believe it or not, as well as I did at the time, and getting promotion. So we went in the next season. This was 1982-83. Really, you know, just like everything else, sometimes things turn a little bit sour. I mentioned it there in the book, and it should never have been. It really shouldn't have been. And even when I went for when Notts County were, I went to a tribunal. And I actually, honestly, I remember I had travelled to the tribunal from Norwich, and I felt even at that tribunal, I wish that if we could have come to an agreement again, and maybe it had gone too far at that time, I wouldn't have minded travelling back with some of the Norwich board members back in that train to Norwich. You know, I would like to have done that. I shouldn't again. I probably became a bit too hasty. I felt that when I was told that I would be putting my money right, and money has never been a driving force for me, never has been. Then I just felt a little bit disappointed in that. But I shouldn't let your disappointment rule your whole thinking, particularly. So it was my thinking was a bit skewed at the time, and I'd like to have stayed anyway at Norwich, so because I missed out the League Cup final. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on Ken. I mean, I'm sure you get asked this all the time in terms of bits that you've taken from other managers. But have you taken any bits from Ken at your time at Norwich in terms of how to deal with people and how to manage a club? Did you take any of that into your career?
Ken had a very easy way with him. You know, he was incredibly likable. You couldn't really fall out with Ken. Even when he was to give you some sort of rollicking, you felt as if to say that you never really took it as personally, perhaps as I used to do when it was being dished out at Nottingham Forest. and generally, Ken was more of a praising part to his game. You know, and some of the things that he said to me after matches were obviously exhilarate you in many aspects. You know, certainly make you feel as if that you are a real proper player. And I remember he and Mel Machen telling me after a game in which we had lost that I had been terrific in the game. So that does make you feel excellent. So he had a good warm way with him. Ken did. He definitely had that. And of course, alongside Mel Machen, who was just a really brilliant coach, totally different personality. Mel, you never knew what he was thinking, really. Ken, you felt as if you were his best friend all his life, you know?
Yeah, and it felt like, having read the book and sort of reading you speak about how it ended at Forest, that maybe you needed that at that point a little bit. You needed that kind of praise and love a little bit.
I think that's probably true. You know, I probably shouldn't be admitting this here. I should be a bigger boy now, but I think that's probably true. And the very fact that that they come down and thought that you really were a really decent footballer, and to be told that on occasion, and as quickly as I was told, of course, it makes you it certainly gives you a lift. And to be told that among the rest of the players in the dressing room is really uplifting.
Absolutely, it's funny how football works, isn't it? Because you end up coming back as a manager when that phone call or whatever it would have been arrived, saying that there was interest from Norwich City, and obviously you were at Wickham at the time and did a very good job there over 5 years. What was that like as a decision to make? Did you have to think about it, and did you have to give it serious thought?
No, I did not. I didn't. Norwich had changed from that time, obviously, to a new training ground. I had been, my times as a player was up at Troyes training ground, and here we've moved to a different place to see the number of football pitches there in that vicinity, to see a new, and it certainly moved into, you know, a modern day outlook, a modern day approach, which was great. Naturally, disappointment throughout the football club that relegation had happened, when in actual fact, in all honesty, it shouldn't really have done. So I'm picking up the pieces really from a group of players that probably early on felt that they shouldn't be playing in this league, but unfortunately they were. And I honestly think that had, and again, maybe making too much of the Dean Windus thing, there were enough good players at Norwich for me to recognise the fact that we would definitely be in the shake up for promotion, and we could ease that. Well, let me put it this way: there was, in terms of playing, there was very, very little difference, as I noticed, between the Norwich City players and the Leicester City players. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very little difference in that sense. Both vying, certainly, if not immediately for automatic promotion, which Norwich should have been thinking about anyway, but obviously getting into the playoffs, which I don't think would have been a problem. And in actual fact, Norwich possessed at that stage one or two players that really were excellent, really excellent. And the very fact that you had a young lad, Darren Eady, for a start, that I thought the world of, and eventually I signed Spencer Pryor as well, to Robert Ullerthorne, players like this here, players that I felt were good enough, not just for the old Championship or the second division, as it were, but to actually go and play in the Premier League. And had Darren Eady not suffered the injuries he did, and Robert as well too, and both suffered injuries at Leicester City, then they would have gone on to prove themselves big players, and particularly Darren Eady, who had the heart the size of a lion, pace to burn, and was just he was my type of player.
Yeah, it's a really interesting squad that you inherited, because you had some of the players that were left from that famous European, or famous in these parts, but European run where they beat Bayern Munich. You had young players, you mentioned Darren Eady, but it was at a club that had been relegated. How difficult is that challenge as a manager, to walk into a club that is kind of on its knees a little bit and needs a lift? Or is that something that you really relished?
I kind of felt what the players were feeling at the time, or I certainly seemed to know what they were feeling, because remember, it wasn't that long ago since they were playing European football, getting big results there, absolutely big results, and now suddenly they find themselves catapulted into the second division, or whatever it was called at that time, and a kind of disbelief among the players that this could have happened. And it happened so rapidly as well, too, that the second half of that season they were relegated, it was just like a fall from grace, like a falling off the precipice. And so you have to sort of pick them up and regain confidence, but that's part of my job, and I never felt that was going to be I never felt that was going to be the most difficult thing. One or two players, perhaps, that, like everything else, when you come in, that you're not everyone's cup of tea, that, you know, one or two players might reel against what your, you know, possibly even training methods, possibly the way of enticing them to play or cajoling them into playing in the manner in which you want them to do. But overall, I know, with very few exceptions, the players were accepting of what we were saying. And I you know, as I just said to you, that I genuinely believe that had I stayed there, even forgetting about the, and this is, I suppose, a part of it all, had I stayed there, I honestly think that regardless of whether Dean Windus came to the football club or didn't, that we had the wherewithal to get promotion ourselves.
Yeah, I know. I'll obviously get onto the Chase stuff in a moment. But, I mean, did you see or did you make the connection? Did it matter to you that you'd played for Norwich as a player and then suddenly you became the manager? Did that connection mean anything to you at all?
Oh, or like you say, because the club had changed. Yes, you know, even for the short periods of time that I was there, both two as a player and one as a manager, gosh, you might, it could hardly add up to a cup of tea. Mm. But yet, I honestly really enjoyed it immensely. And you know what? There was part of me didn't even mind the tete-a-tetes with Robert himself, you know, and I'd try and mention something, try and win a couple of brownie points here, and then he would come in interjecting with something else. But listen, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but maybe sometimes if I just get control of myself and then say, listen, these things can happen, forget about it, and just deal with what's there in front of you. And if you're not going to get your way, don't go off in a huff, you know, that's too bad, and deal with it and get on with it. And maybe I sometimes learn these lessons too late in life.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, really, in terms of, I mean, is regret too strong a word? Do you regret how that all sort of panned out?
You know what? At the time, I got into one of those things that I felt that it was only because I didn't think that Mr. Chase had chased up on the whole Dean Windus situation, and I felt that was, you know, that was a bit uncomfortable. But if I was to analyse it now, if I could put myself back in there again, I wouldn't. I would have not remonstrated at the board meeting. I wouldn't have done those particular things. Remember, I'm the same person that quite a number of years earlier stormed into yes, a board meeting that Sir Arthur South was holding one evening in a summer evening in way back in 1982. So from that viewpoint, I think that just get hold of yourself and look at it from another perspective, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Chase is someone who is very controversial. I think that's maybe an understatement in terms of Norwich City's history. You were obviously manager at a time where there were protests outside and there was a lot of fan unrest. I mean, you must have felt that all of these things probably make life a little bit more difficult for you as a manager trying to pick up a football club and trying to get them promoted.
I sometimes you just have to divorce yourself from that. Mm. I felt as if I had genuinely, and this is one of the most important things, felt genuinely I had the crowd on my side. Not every moment of my managerial time there was a beautiful moment. It wasn't. We lost a game against Leicester City, 1-0 in a match that I felt that we should have won, could easily have won that game, and we lost that match at Carr Road. But there were other games where we were resoundingly good, and we were getting on a little bit of a League Cup run. We won this big game at Bradford City one evening, and where we after the match was over, we stopped off in a restaurant in Bradford. And by the time that we got home to Norwich, it must have been at least 5 o'clock in the morning or something, I guess, here. But it was wonderful. You know, it's just a great feeling, and the players were really up for the game, and we'd won the we won a big game. And it might only have been Bradford City, but it was a really important for us. And we were getting things together. Genuinely think we were getting. And we had a whole half of the season, you know, from Christmas onwards, you know, to put a couple of things right. And we didn't need that much of a... We didn't need that much of an overhaul to get promotion. That's my view. And honestly, I still feel that at the time that when Leicester got promotion, myself there with it, it could easily have been Norwich as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans look at the period where you kind of left the club and feel that that was a real kind of sliding doors moment for the football club as a whole, because it did feel like for I think even short period, even though as you say it wasn't all pretty, that there was a sense that actually in terms of on the pitch, it was moving back in the right direction again. And maybe that was obviously out of your control, but obviously a derailing in terms of the on-pitch progress as well. Is that a sense that you get in terms of that maybe being a missed moment for the football club in terms of what could have been achieved?
Yeah, I think so. I think that... I'll reiterate. I think that we would definitely be, no question, we'd have been in the shake-up. We had too many really decent players at Norwich, and I think that they had kind of proved themselves. The difficulty, the psychological difficulty, is certainly early part of a season with players who have just been relegated, who don't feel that they should have gone down. And I think getting their minds adjusted to the games that they're going to be playing, they are not going to travel to Old Trafford next Saturday. They are not going to go to Anfield. They are not playing at Carrow Road against Tottenham Hotspur. They are going to different venues with different outlooks and different scenarios completely. It's getting players' heads around that as quickly as possible. Now, you can have worked some pre-season, and I had a couple of weeks of pre-season with them. That's fine, but nothing puts you in your mind at all. It's a bit like taking penalty kicks. You can have all sorts of scenarios in your mind, but when you open up that season and you're not opening that up, and we're going to Kenilworth Road for our first game of the season, well, great victory, and there's no question about it. We played so strongly and brilliantly that particular day, but you know, that's the players have to get their minds around that this is going to be a tough old season ahead. And the quicker you can get your mind around that you are not visiting, unless you're drawn in the cup match, you will not be going to Goodison Park this season. Sorry, mate, that's your fault. You didn't win enough games at the back end of last season to do that. But once you get your mind around that, and it does take a number of weeks, regardless of what results are going your way or not going your way, once you put your mind around that, then you can start making forward moves.
Absolutely. Just very quickly on this. I mean, as I mentioned right at the start, that tale around Dean Windass feels like it's gone around. Everyone kind of, certainly from a Norwich City persuasion, knows it and gets it. So from your perspective, how do you kind of see how that panned out? Because I guess that was maybe the thing that tipped you over the edge in terms of that made you realise it was going to be a real struggle to work under the conditions that you were in.
Yes, it did. People can pick seminal moments, and you can talk about certain things that did. Yes, it did become an issue. And if I had to do my time over again, I would have made it less of an issue and just get on with things and really try to force and get Norwich City back into the big league. That's really, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. My wife keeps telling me she's the only woman that has it, and I'm very, very lucky to do that. But unfortunately, it's something that doesn't belong to me. But I would, absolutely. Would I do something differently now? Of course. Would I have gone and charged into a board meeting then at that particular stage? No, I wouldn't have done. I would have been disappointed that some of the instructions that I had asked for hadn't been carried out. That's true. But listen, honestly, there were enough things to be getting on with, and it became a bit of a bone of contention. And I wish that it had worked out differently at the time. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, I went to Leicester City, had a real struggle to win some football matches, and the crowd were weren't too happy with me at that stage. So all of that was having an effect on me, and that, no question about it. But I know this from my own experiences now, that the Norwich situation, which I couldn't get out of my head, definitely affected my early days at Leicester City, and could have affected my tenure there at Filbert Street.
Absolutely. I mean, did you ever have any situation after you left Norwich where you saw Robert Chase again? Was there ever that kind of situation?
No, never did. Never did. Absolutely. No. And I think when Martin George, the chairman, and here's the whole point about it, and I was speaking to Martin George just recently. Martin George celebrated his 80th birthday. He was the chairman of Leicester City. And I went to his 80th birthday party, which was really nice, a nice occasion, only a few weeks ago. And he said that when he was dealing with Robert Chase, and here was something, seriously, this is true. He said that Robert Chase was incredibly complimentary about me as a manager at the club, which honestly he was so really was. So that took me aback a little bit as well too. So I'm even more regretful now than ever before. God Almighty, I'm an absolute soulful wreck now. You know, so you know. So there you are. So honestly, when he was speaking about me, you know, when I was coming to Leicester, that Robert Chase was incredibly complimentary about me. So that was, okay, so there you go.
Absolutely. I mean, just to bring it up to modern day, because I mean, some of the stuff that you've mentioned there in terms of trying to transform a group after relegation, I mean, that's obviously really similar to the situation that Dean Smith and Norwich find themselves in at the moment. Mm-hmm. after relegation. They've maybe had a bit of an inconsistent start, and I guess from your perspective, from a manager's perspective, you put that down to maybe, everyone likes to use the term hangover. I don't know if it's the right one, but that kind of shift.
Absolutely. I would do. But you have to get over that seriously as quickly as you possibly can. And you might be, you might be into the season for maybe 10 or 11 games. But once you start to realise, I'm sorry, lads, this is it. This is going to be a tough old time again. And really hard. And you really have to just adjust. You just have to knuckle down and get on with it, you know. And there are moments where you are actually going to have to play like this. You're going to have to play at the top of your game, not just for a Saturday afternoon, but for a Tuesday evening, for a Wednesday evening, for a Sunday afternoon. You're going to have to, and you're going to have that all the time. So here, there's been a little break, you know, for the World Cup. Now get back at it, and it just has to be really focused from here on in. And that's it. But Norwich City have done it. They've done it before. They can do it again. And if they can get up, it's not going to be easy, regardless of whether you've had some Premier League experience. That counts for, honestly, do you know what? It counts for very little when you're in when you're absolutely, you know, battling away on a Tuesday night somewhere. But really, you've got to just get your head down, get on with it. And really, Norwich City can make it. They can make it again, which would be fantastic. And the last thing you want to be is a club that's, you know, going up. Is maybe too good for the championship, and seemingly not good enough from the Premier League. That's the way it is. Looks from afar. It's certainly over the last few years, but that's the case. But getting back out of this league is not easy, but it can be done.
Just finally, obviously, Dean Smith, someone who managed Aston Villa as well, one of your other former clubs. What do you make of him? Have you had many encounters with him in terms of as a manager?
Dean, when I was at the Republic of Ireland manager, Brentford had a player, little lad called Judge, who played for them at the time before a serious injury. And I used to enjoy going to Griffin Park to watch Brentford under Dean Smith. I thought they played some really attractive football, really, really nice. And they were a nice team to watch. So it didn't become a major surprise to me when he got the opportunity to go and manage at Aston Villa, which is his boyhood club. So really, Dean knows what to do. He knows he's been He's been in this league before, with obviously with Brentford, and he knows the, you know, obviously knows the expectations now of Norwich City particularly, and I think that you know, just it's this coming to terms with, and it's the players coming to terms with, which I'm sure now, if they haven't come to terms with it by Christmas, they'll never come to terms with it. But I think that they will do. And I think that just getting a consistency of results, just moving again. There's nothing separating quite a number of the teams. You would Norwich or Skate will have beaten any of those sides, as the sides might be able to nick a result off Norwich as well. It's just winning. It's, you know what? It's just starting again here immediately. Getting the team completely focused. All the things that Dean Smith doesn't need me to tell him. He knows that himself. He's got loads of experience. But Norwich can do it, absolutely.
Just a final one from me. I think Norwich fans would be disappointed if I didn't ask you about Wes Houlihan, someone who's so popular. Obviously, you managed him as a Republic of Ireland manager. What did you make of him, both as a person and a player? Because I think he's absolutely adored here.
As a person, Wes is a really good lad, really genuinely good lad. He had a lot of natural talent, not physically the strongest in the world. Sometimes that, you know, if that's the case, and made. Had performed when he didn't always start in my games here, because sometimes we needed a little bit more physicality, certainly early on. We could come in and maybe change a game. But when he did start in one or two games, one game I remember, our first game against Sweden in Paris, in the Euros in 2016, where he scored the most fantastic goal. Wes scored a goal, and honestly, you talk about, you know, you could have raced onto that pitch and hugged him, really. It was a terrific goal, a great moment for him. And then, would you believe it, fast forward a couple of weeks, we're still in the competition, and then we are playing Italy, and we have, and Wes has this chance to win the game for us in the last couple of minutes, misses the chance. I could have killed him then, and would you believe it, the ball comes back to him and he whips in this cross that Robbie Brady comes in and heads into the net. So my mood with Wes has changed incredibly in the space of about 14 seconds. So instead of thinking I'm going to wreck this lad when he comes into the dressing room, to giving him another hug again for crossing the ball in for Robbie Brady to score this diving header and take us into the last 16 of the competition. So Wes was a genuine hero at Norwich for all the silky skills that he had, and perhaps had he been, you know, what, 6-4 inches bigger and about a stone and a half heavier, you know, he could have applied his trade easily in the bigger league.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.